This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 482, recorded August 17th, 2016. I am your host, Brian Kilby. Radio Free Cybertron is the original and most awesome Transformers podcast ever. We've been around for a long time. With me this week, I have Matt. Matt, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Apparently, we have to do live introductions now because Brian's too lazy to edit.
Diecast, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, and I got some new lights today, which is cool.
That's cool. That's awesome. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
No comment.
He can't comment. So, Rob,
I'm doing pretty well.
That's awesome. And John's not. John said he'll be late. So I just read the tweet. I shouldn't be multitasking, but I am. You kind of got to multitask. I mean, it's what this is, really. It's why it's hard. Don, how's it going?
Until you just about call me John, everything was going fine.
You would not. Okay,
I think that's a high compliment.
John would be a high compliment.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I can't live up to that. The voice, the hair, the most interesting man in America. That I can't live up to that.
John is.
I can't do it.
John is the coolest, most successful of us. So coolest, maybe arguable. I mean, yeah. Don's pretty cool, but I think everybody we can all agree that John is more successful in life.
Well,
John's the smoothest of us.
Gee, thanks.
John is the smoothest of us.
John is the smoothest.
Yeah, John will be the next Dos Equis man. The most interesting man in America.
Yeah, I mean, give him another 35 years, and I mean, he'd probably be right for it.
Yeah, he'd be 71 at that point. So yeah.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
That'd be about right. Okay, guys, you get anything cool this week? I got Computron, the Combiner Wars version. I like it. I just don't like attaching the nose cone piece bit to nose cone's turret. It just feels awkward.
You mean the drill?
Yeah.
There is a proper term for what that is, and that's a drill.
I would say the
nose cone is something different.
I would say a drill. I don't know. I think of a drill as a hand drill. Would that still be a drill?
Yeah.
It'd still be a drill. Okay. Yeah. Well, attaching the drill. It's awkward.
I believe technically any, mechanism that bores through a material would be, correctly referred to as a drill.
Or a screw. Screws the mechanism. That's the machine.
Mm-hmm. JD would be running wild with this right now.
Yep. Yeah,
I got an intro quote from him still somewhere that would just be perfect, too. A screw!
That'd be great.
You should just put that into a random episode of, that one episode of Star Trek, just to do it.
Yeah. I've got a lot of unused JD material, too. I should, get that out there somewhere.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But, yeah, Computron's pretty cool. I honestly, though, it's kind of making me kind of glad that Combiner Wars is pretty much over. I don't know that I need any more Combiners.
No, we went over this, Brian, in pre-show. You still need Lyo Kaiser and Baldigus and Scott Lynxmaster, and we need them to do Battle Gaia and Guard City.
G2 Defensor.
I'm not saying I wouldn't buy those, because I absolutely will.
You need a lot more Combiners.
I don't need them.
Basically, the Combiners are turning into the Generation Seekers.
I'm compelled.
None of us want any more, but we still want them all.
Speak for thine self, Don.
Yeah, I am not a completist with the. I'm not a completist with Combiners because there's three that I don't have.
Says the man who's bought every Seeker mold they've made so far. You have no room to talk, Matt.
That's what I said. Speak for yourself. Oh, I want the Combiners.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
And he wants more classic Seekers, too.
I would buy them.
That mold is basically made of sand right now.
Oh, no, it's not even because, they kept making new updated versions
of
it.
Yeah, of course they did. I mean, that was the figure speech.
So, there is still got to be viable versions of that out there they could still be pressing.
I just wish they had the foresight to do that to the Car Robot Brothers. We could still be getting awesome toys from those molds.
Hanging up on Don.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think what happened with the Car Brother molds probably informed what they ended up doing with the Classic Seeker, honestly.
You mean somebody taking it and just dropping it and going, oops?
Brian, I'm detecting a little hostility from you on this subject.
You know, it is what it is. Anybody else? I know you guys got stuff. Who else got something cool?
I picked up a Power Ranger figure.
That doesn't count. So, Chris?
So I've got the SDCC Titan Force set, and I've been messing with Brainstorm during pre-show. I actually really like how this turned out. It's maybe not like the ideal Brainstorm, but I actually like it better than the Generations Voyager. It's got more of a satisfying transformation. The vehicle mode has better lines overall, even though it's just a blur retool. And it proves what we've, you know, pretty much known since the Dakara pictures came out. This basic mold is really good. It just needs a deco.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Did you find that for cheaper than the floating around retail around $75, or did you? Or was that around retail?
I mean, the retail is just what you're going. The retail is just what you're going to be at, Don. There's not really deals to be had on it. Okay. Sadly enough, I've also been messing with Windblade on and off, and like this is a very solid figure. It's engineered a lot more simply than the Generations toy, but it also lacks a lot of the problems that had because of how it was engineered. Like, it's a perfectly good toy. I think the Robots in Disguise design style is not something I'm super compatible with, so I'm finding a little bit more fault in it. But like, if you're fine with RID toys, this is good. This actually, again, this has a deco on it. It's not just solid red, so it's pretty nice. I think even this, though, could probably use a little bit more paint than it ended up getting.
How does the Sparkle Prime look? Because the pictures...
I haven't taken Sentinel out of the box yet because it's not physically changed or new to me in any way, but I actually like the color balance on it better because like they took most or all of the gray off of it and replaced it with the dark red, and I think that actually really kind of ties together the like super saturated color scheme it's got going.
I
really like that aspect of it.
Because I bought Sentinel Prime, the standalone figure, because to me there was a lot of Brave homages in there, which I talked to Rob about last week, the week before. I've seen some Brave homages in there, but I do like the use of the translucent plastics on that San Diego. So I'm kind of been thinking about getting that set, but I'm still not sure.
I'm not getting it. I have zero desire.
Orange translucent. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It looks like he's glowing.
Just he's not made of space Jolly Ranchers.
Normal one looks enough like he's glowing.
Yeah.
Yes, but this looks even more like it's glowing, so it's better. No, overall, I'd say this set is actually pretty strong. Brainstorm's a toss-up between if you need to get this or the Walgreens one. The Walgreens has a little bit less paint on it, and otherwise it just comes down to color variations, basically. So just whichever one... is more appealing looking to you if you want something IDW themed a little bit more, which would be the SDCC set, or original toy themed like the standalone one. As for Windblade, I would not say anybody needs to own more than one version of that mold. So if you don't want the vaguely Fortress Maximus colored one from this set, try to find the Transformers Adventure one, although I think the pre-orders for that have already dried up.
This is still available at Hasbro Toy Shop.
It is.
That's interesting.
Buy it.
Which one?
Did Fortress Maximus sell out?
Let's check. Looks like it's still there. Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that's an indication of that they're making more of these so they're easier to get for longer after San Diego Comic-Con, or just that the interest is dying off.
I think a part of the thing with Fortress Maximus is, if you'll remember, Metroplex debuted at San Diego Comic-Con before the retail issue came out. Retail Fortress Maximus came out before San Diego Comic-Con, so I imagine everybody already snatched up their...
That's a good point, because Fall of Cybertron Bruticus was the same way. It debuted, the first place you could buy it was San Diego Comic-Con, and that was the game-accurate colors. So that had a lot more... It made it a lot more desirable than the general retail one, so people wanted to get on that right away. All of these, I mean, they're nice enough, but, like, maybe not super necessary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Anybody else get anything? Rob, you got some stuff, I think, right?
Yeah, I got the SDCC tablet Soundwave, which I really like that. It's surprisingly good for something that, you know, unfolds into a flat rectangle. it's really remarkable how not frustrating it is to transform. It isn't at all. It's complicated, but it's not frustrating. It's very easy to work with. It's easy to transform, and it looks, you know, it still has that kind of, like, I almost want to say it's got a G1 kind of flatness going on to a lot of its body parts when you're done, but they do a pretty good job of making that into a three-dimensional shape. The one thing that I kind of feel is a missed opportunity is the bottom of the tablet pops off and it becomes like a winged backpack for Soundwave. And for one thing, not only are the wings are barely larger than his shoulder pads, which means they, you know, unless you're looking at it at an angle, it doesn't really show up in any significant way. It just makes it a little bit, gives it a little bit more of that depth front to back. And the second problem with that is that it is just a couple of pieces shy of having made a pretty damn good laser beak. So that is a real missed opportunity, I feel like. But it's a nice presentation. The box is nice. The packaging is very well done. It comes with a sleeve, a kind of like anti-static sleeve looking thing that blocks off the, you know, sheet of robot parts on the back of the tablet. So I like it. I don't know if I'm going to keep it, but I like it.
So while we established before that it's that's a Hasbro original as opposed to like the Mega Drive Megatron, but in a way, I mean, Mega Drive Megatron is still pretty flat himself. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of depth to a game console. So I wonder if they had some similar origins from maybe the design side or something. So Megatron, part of the console, pops off and becomes his cannon, and honestly, it just feels like a big waste. So at least because it just looks dumb. So at least as the wings, even if they're hardly visible, that seems like a better idea than just a cannon, which obviously looks just like a chunk of a Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I mean, there is something similar going on here, and I'm glad you reminded me of that, because, like, the center of the tablet pops off to become a big cheaty shield to complete the transformation. Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't look bad as a shield, but it is just a big cheat. It is there to make everything take up the proper amount of space and finish off the toy. They did a good job of shaping it to look like an actual shield, but it's a part to cheat the shape.
One thing I want to mention, well, after I mentioned the Sega Genesis Megatron or the Mega Drive, there was two versions, the Mega Drive, which is the original name of the console, and then the Genesis, which is the American name. I want to point out, because it's hilarious, and I know there's some people out there who haven't heard this. Basically, they just did there's on the back of the packaging, there's like information about the Mega Drive release date and everything. So, of course, the release date for the Mega Drive is different than the Genesis, because the Genesis was released in North America. So basically, somebody just did a copy paste or a find and replace of like Mega Drive and put in Sega Genesis. So there's all these facts in there that aren't relevant to the Genesis because somebody was lazy and didn't want to bother looking at Wikipedia.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy toy. Anybody else get anything?
No, Rob's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I also got the SDCC G.I. Joe versus Transformers box set with the Soundwave Fist Tank.
I'm kind of jealous.
It's not bad. I haven't taken a real close look at it. I may do like an unboxing video for that for T-Formers. Haven't decided how I'm going to handle it yet. But the box itself is very nice, and it's enormous. So.
Yeah, they're all pretty big. So is that the same Hiss Tank that became Soundwave? I mean, Shockwave?
No, actually. I looked this up because I wasn't sure what version of the Hiss Tank it was. It is a version that was only released previously as a 2005 Toys R Us exclusive.
Interesting.
It's shaped basically like the classic Hiss, but it has some added missile launchers and some personnel carrying compartments on the side that the original Hiss did not have.
I know which one that is. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So far as I can tell, it's like the second ever use of that mold.
Very cool. I like that. You think it's Rob?
No, that's it for new stuff. I also got a big sack of Beast Wars toys.
Yeah, we both got a bunch of Beast Wars stuff out of the Key Farmers archives.
That's cool.
Yes.
Diecast, you're about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll try and go quick, not to hold us up too much. I got a Q Transformer, because I know Rob Springer loves these.
He does,
Which one is that? I can't quite see.
It's like Iron Height.
Okay.
Yeah. I also got the San Diego Comic-Con Titan Force set, so you can see the very clear and orange Sentinel Prime.
I love that.
Yeah, I love him too. His waist doesn't peg together that well, but...
Yeah, I think that's the problem with switching to the clear plastic.
Yeah. And then I got the Takara RID Megatron, because it has more paint and it looks
Megatronus
better. Yeah, Megatronus.
Yeah.
And then I'll say this just for Don. I got a Thunderhoof.
Thunderhoof. All right.
I really like that Thunderhoof.
He is. It's
Don.
It's well, I mean, you sort of got to say it like that when you get the toy, at least one Thunderhoof. But it really isn't. I'm sorry. I love the Hasbro stuff, obviously, but Hasbro is just too plain. It needed, you know, color.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Is there an equivalent version of Steeljaw that's as nice as that?
The Takara one is up painted somewhat, but I don't think the difference is quite as dramatic.
Okay. And then there was also the Patrol version that came with the strong arm.
Oh yeah, the that was the police Steeljaw, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is kind of weird for that character. But
so I think Diecast or Rob Springer won. Was it Diecast? Was it you that gave me the Steeljaw that I have?
No,
somebody gave me one at BotCon. I can't remember who it was, and it's kind of floppy.
Yeah, you kind of have to use his tail to make him stand up. Otherwise, he just sort of falls
over. Everything I've seen, Steeljaw has like all the symptoms of being the first toy designed for the line.
Yeah, I want a better version. He deserves a better
toy.
Oh,
I might have given you that out of the from like New York Toy Fair.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's exactly it. So I finally opened it last night. Like, I love Steeljaw. I forgot I had this. It was in my closet. I was going through the closet after the move.
Yeah, Steeljaw is a great character that deserves a better toy than what's available.
Yeah.
I saw the Transformers Hero Masher equivalent, I can't remember, at Ross the other day, and it was the only one they had, and I was almost going to get it, but like it wasn't quite there for me visually. Well,
there's a Hero Masher, whatever they're called, Steeljaw?
Yeah, but yeah. From like the last assortment of the Transformers ones, which never made it to stores in general, from what I understand. So well, basically, it's find it at Ross or nothing.
Well, actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how prevalent it is everywhere. But when I was out looking for Brainstorms the last 2 weeks, I stopped by my Ross and Marshalls. That wave of Hero Masters is apparently reshipping to a lot of these discount stores, because I saw three of the four from that wave. Steeljaw, Bumblebee, and somebody else that I hadn't seen for quite a while. So apparently they're now showing back up.
Basically,
yeah,
it looks like
fall. It's Hasbro dead stock season.
Yeah, basically the Hero Masher Steeljaw looks like a bigger, tougher Steeljaw robot, but like it would still need a fair bit of paint work to really pop.
Okay.
Like, it's still short in some ways, but, I mean, you could deal with that or just kind of ignore it if you're not super picky about it.
Okay, anybody else get anything?
Yeah, I don't have anything to show off because I'm kind of in between houses at the moment.
Yeah.
But I got a third Titans Return sweep, so that finishes off. I got the three that I need.
Cool.
I just need Takara's to come out now so I can have a Scourge.
Yeah. End of the month.
Yes. I also got from TF Source, and I got my subscription service for Needle Nose and Bludgeon. So my Thunder Mayhem is complete now.
Nice.
And I love the colors on him. He's just really, really bright and really hideous, and it's great.
Is that head as bad in person as it looks? For
I don't think the head would be as bad if the paint wasn't as, like, the paint's pretty globbed on. It's pretty thick. The bludgeon mold has the same problem. It doesn't actually look like it's a bad sculpt. It's overpainted.
Which is so weird to hear you say when you're talking about some of these products.
I know, right? And I also got the Collector's Club Skywarp, which I haven't really had time to mess with yet. And a bunch of Power Rangers stuff.
I just got my collector. Oh, actually, yeah. Thanks for the reminder. I just got my Collector's Club Ramjet. So,
I got that like 2 months ago, Kilby.
Well, I got mine this week. So,
yeah,
yeah. I wanted Skywarp, but I had some issues that I really needed. The Dynanomics didn't work out on that.
Okay.
You had some ungood deals.
Ungood deals. Because Don doesn't have bad deals. Just ungood deals.
There's no room for bad deals in Dynanomics.
But I will say this, not to get off on too far of a tangent, but I did get Fortress Maximus, and I am...
I did get Fortress Maximus to come himself.
Well, I'm kind of wishing he would go away.
Did you at
himself.
Least buy him dinner first, Kilby?
Because
you can't brainstorm?
Well, I'll be honest. I am somewhat disappointed in this Fortress Maximus. I really am. I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't get it.
It's a really good Titan Master playset. It's kind of so-so as a big robot.
Yeah, he's a little floppy. Stuff doesn't tab together that needs to tab together. When you try to transform him, he falls over on his own, some of these hinges. I'm sorry. It's just not the toy I was expecting. I'm glad I got him for what I got him for with all the rewards cards I had.
For $3, I'm so disappointed.
I got him for about 100 after my rewards points and everything. But
I would say 100 is probably really fair for Fortress Maximus.
It is,
and it's not like 100% a good toy.
I'm more happy,
but for what it is good, yeah.
I'm more happy that I got my Rebirth Cerebros. That was the most important thing is getting the proper looking Cerebros over the.
That is like the best part of the toy. I had that like displayed just as Cerebros for like a month.
Yeah,
and so, that kind of goes with the whole concept. The big body is a great playset piece to have spread out on a shelf or table or whatever, and then you have the Cerebros robot just off by itself being its own dude.
Yeah,
but I'll be honest. I think the G1 toy is a much better toy. But again, there's a lot more plastic in that version, yeah. So it's really not fair to compare the two with different economies of the time.
Yeah, I get it.
No, but I'll agree with you. I think G1 Fortress Maximus is a better overall toy than the Titans Return.
Except that I'm afraid that it'll break.
Well, as long as you don't drop it, it's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, that's true. Okay, so does anybody need to plug their ears because of Combiner Wars?
Diecast.
No, I watched it.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So, episode 3 was called, what, The Duel?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what the episode was.
Yes.
Spoilers. Basically, it was Windblade and Optimus Prime fighting. And talking while they were fighting. And
sounds very Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and then... Yeah,
I thought you liked Dragon Ball Z.
But I still enjoy it more than anything on Dragon Ball Z.
I like Dragon Ball Z, but I can still make fun of its tropes.
I would rather watch the Frieza Saga.
The Frieza Saga is actually pretty engaging, except for the filler episodes.
They're all filler episodes.
No, but I mean, when you distill the Frieza Saga down to the actual storyline, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just read the comic, everybody.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
It's or abridged.
Yeah, I really didn't have a problem with episode 3. I mean, it was nice to sort of see how Optimus is basically Windblade's coming at him. Spoilers. Windblade's coming at him with, all this rage and anger. His Prime just, he's like sorry, Jackie Chan. He's not really fighting back. He's just artfully dodging all of her attacks for the most part.
As we know from Transformers, from 30 years of Transformers, mass means nothing. Yeah. Mass is
especially
meaningless.
Transformers Energon, which this, inherits from heavily.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I will say it. I don't know, Rob. You and XV being, might understand. Well, y'all might. The sound mixing. The sound does not sound good.
It's not the mixing. It's the producing.
It's the sound engineering that's bad.
Okay. Because it's just.
I understand what you mean, Don. Yes.
Yeah, it's like the opening when she's flying through when we're going through the star field. It was so hot and crackly and distracting. I couldn't enjoy the visuals because the sounds were so bad.
I hate to say it, but there's just so many aspects coming together on this that sound and look kind of low quality. The sound engineering is a thing. The voice acting is largely fine with a few exceptions. I mean,
I thought John did a great job as Optimus. He sounded he did a really good job as Optimus.
I've heard him sound better as Optimus because I've heard him in person. That's again a sound engineering issue. His you know, his performance was great. His performance was fine, but it just sounded off again because of that, the sound engineering issues that are going on here. And it's just, they're trying for something that I don't think the mechanical aspects of this are quite up to. This fight is not written to be done, to be performed at a Zoid's Chaotic Century frame rate. And you know, the voice performances are better than the engineering is allowing for. It's, you know, I, to be honest, writing wise, I don't think it's anything spectacular so far or anything particularly special, but the presentation is really dragging it down.
I would actually argue that the fight would probably look better in comic form than even even being animated, because even if it was animated like very fluidly, it would probably look worse.
I don't know. I think there's better ways to do robot animation that could make this work, and this is freaking Tatsunoko Productions. They have no excuse. But it doesn't, you know, again, with this frame rate that they have chosen for this of like 6 a second, it doesn't work.
I mean, if you made the animation more fluid, you'd have to actually be choreographing yes. the fights more. So like, yeah, if you threw everything into a fight scene like this, gave it every effort, you could make a beautiful looking animated fight scene between robots. For the level of input that it's actually getting, I don't want to say that, like, you know, comic or even a more still frame approach to it is a better choice, but like, just upping the frame rate's not going to make it look a lot better. Now, as a counterpoint, I would love to see an animated production have Optimus Prime performing Drunken Fist.
That would be fun.
Yes.
So, my problem, general problem with the fight, it was basically, what, 6 attacks and a lot of standing and talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
But the
really like.
But the attacks were like all pretty quick though, and yeah. It just looks silly with Optimus parrying because he shouldn't be able to move as like that. Windblade, if she really wanted to injure him, which it looked like she was trying to kill him, but then she said she didn't want to kill Starscream. I don't know. I just it's okay.
Counterpoint. Let's see how I can describe this with rambling as little as possible. Okay, tangent. There's a, you know, the Discworld series books by Terry Pratchett. Mm-hmm. They describe in that the fighting of old barbarian heroes. In other words, guys who have survived a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they move fast. It's that they move to exactly where they need to be to avoid the attack every time. I'm fine with Optimus Prime being able to do that because he is basically a very old hero. He should know how to do that. That should be a skill he has, not just soaking up damage, but knowing exactly how to get out of an attack with economy of motion. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I remember reading about that as a martial art technique somewhere a long time ago. That, you know, it's really it's economy of motion.
So whoever in pre-show said this is basically becoming Transformers Resolute. I mean, I'm having flashbacks.
That was most of us, Brian.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks of the Hooky Ninja BS between Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow from Resolute.
Okay, I never watched Resolute. I want to say I really like this series. It's not perfect, but again, it's not a really high production either. Now, that being said, what I really do want is, this is the third episode, and all they've really been doing is setting the whole thing up. I really want to see this thing start moving now that we get into the fourth episode, because by now they should be able to actually get in the story.
Yeah, and hopefully this is the point where they can actually turn that over and actually start telling the actual story of it. If we are looking at this as the 1 hour time slot thing, like I've been pushing the concept of, this would be about the point in the episode where you start actually getting into what's the meat of it, basically.
Right.
Yeah. I just want a scene, an episode of this that I do not predict the outcome in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because that's my problem with it so far. And part of that has been because of what we saw in the previews, but also just because the scenes we've seen so far have been executed in a very rote kind of way.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, like I said, the council's going to, yeah, the council, it's not even contrived, it's cliched. It, you know, the council's going to stand around going, we should do something. No, we're not going to do anything. Then something, you know, then something dramatic happens. We're going to have the big fight between, you know, between the arrogant, not even arrogance, the right word, the hot-headed new, young character and the old guy, and they're not going to be able to do any damage to the old guy, and he's going to, you know, wax philosophical at them for 5 minutes. It's
almost like they went to TV Tropes, read all the stuff, then realized, hey, this stuff's pretty good. We should do it just like this.
I like that, Don.
If there's a TV Tropes randomizer that lets you create a script, I bet we could come up with a Combiner Wars script using that.
And if there's anybody in our audience right now who can program that for us, I will literally PayPal you $5 if you make that and email us a link to it.
That'd be awesome.
I know $5 is not nearly enough money to compensate for that, but it's more about the symbology.
So to that point, though, being cliched, usually it's a trade-off. Usually something's beautiful and cliched, or it's written really well, and it's not super high on the graphics or whatever, or the visuals. This is just, it's kind of, it can be better on both sides.
Can you say that it's not written well yet when we really haven't gotten into the, you know?
I can say it's not written well because we haven't gotten into it yet.
Yeah, and you can say it's not written well based on one episode. I mean, if one episode comes off as you know, rote.
And also,
remember, you're 15 minutes in at this point.
We are roughly one third of the way through this, so we can't judge the whole, but we can say at the very least that it's a slow starter.
And this is what I've said, is that writing for a 5 minute show when you know you're writing for 5 minutes is different than writing for a 50 minute show and then having it cut up.
To their credit, this scene I would say was definitely written for 5 minute episodes.
I agree,
that much I will give them.
I mean, yeah, honestly, any kind of production for the most part is a culmination of, brain failed on me, you come to compromises. So basically they have to compromise here and there on every little thing. And the goal is, when you make a compromise, is not to lose too much or break even. Sometimes a compromise even winds up being better or better than some of its parts. It just seems like this one may not be equal to the
same. I almost want to say this is the result of no compromises and all the ideas just conflicting with each other.
A possibility. I think, to be honest, I think it was written without any idea of how it was going to be produced, at what budget, in what style. I think that's a big part of it, because a lot of times, you know, working within your limitations means you have to know them first.
And, like, I want to just go on record and say, I'm sorry to anybody who is legitimately enjoying this. I'm glad there are people out there who are watching this and having fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's obviously not resonating for all of us quite so well. So, like, you know, don't let us take away from your enjoyment of this show.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm still going to watch it. I still like it.
I know, Diecast. Nothing we can ever say to you will make you rethink your bad, bad life
choices. Do you think this was based on, like, some sort of internal Hasbro Bible for Combiner Wars, and they're trying to adapt it?
That's not the impression I really got from them talking about it in pre-production, because a lot of what they were talking about is, you know, they went to the IDW comics, they, you know, looked at just like the fiction overall and started drawing in from different elements what they thought would work as a series together.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something they're developing mostly on their own.
Okay.
I get the feeling that maybe some of the things that don't work about it is that they're trying to do IDW light, and they're trying to make it work in a context that will work for people who have not watched a Transformers cartoon since 1987, and that is a challenge and a half.
Yeah,
especially when you only have 41 minutes or so to do it.
And I want to get this point across. I can't do any better. So, I mean, they are obviously, you know, when it boils down to it, I mean, I couldn't do it. So, hats off to them for what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
I couldn't animate a better show than this. I might be able to write a better story.
I mean, I could write a better story, but I can't do the whole. I can't do the whole thing.
Yeah, the only thing I will say is I am not trying to belittle this thing at all. It's just, from a writer's, I am not a professional writer, but I have wrote quite a bit. I'm just saying, from a writer standpoint, the things that are sticking out to me as a quote unquote writer are taking away from some of the fun, because I know it can be done better, because we've seen it done better before in these short formats.
Yeah, true. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to, 35 minutes later, let's jump to This Week in History. 1984, the first known newspaper advertisements for the original Transformers toy line show up, offering Autobot cars for $8.99, which is about $18 in today's dollar currency. Of course, no rain checks and limit 2 per customer, and there's a minimum of 300 per store.
And it's the Autobats.
Yeah, did this come from Crazy Steve's website, I'm assuming, originally?
I don't actually know.
Probably. It's Roboplastic.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's exactly where it came from, so not surprising. $18. Well, that's not too awful.
That's
about a deluxe today.
Yeah.
It's still like half the price they were selling the commemorative series equivalents for.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Back in 2002.
That's about what I bought them for when they went on clearance, but yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't – now, these ads are from stores that was not in my area, but I remember seeing ads much like this in, like, the Sears catalog with Devastator for the first time, and this just really takes me back to seeing these ads for these for the first time.
Takes you back to when you were, like, 18?
When I was 14, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Close. let's see here. And the next one, I didn't know about this. I thought this was a different collection. 2003, the Transformers Theme Song Collection soundtrack is released in Japan by Columbia Music Entertainment. I thought this was the one that had all of the G1 and Headmasters Victory. And
I have this. I have this.
Yeah, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah, they love their TV show music and, various collections and stuff.
I could actually really use this. How much does this go for on eBay?
what's really cool is you got the of course I got
$45. Yeah, good.
I need this. No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because you got so many good shows on here, and you also get the end theme, which you don't get a lot to Car Robot Marionettes, which is a beautiful song. So, and of course Koji Wada did the opening to Car Robots, who sadly passed away not long ago. So that's one of his stronger works.
It's not better than Biggest Dreamer, Don.
No, it's not. But I mean, on a side note, to those fans that are fans of the Japanese series, with him passing away, they're doing a memorial CD that has a lot of his stuff on it. Unfortunately, it's going to be, I believe, it's a festival exclusive. So it's going to be very, very hard to get, but if you're a fan of his stuff, it's it will be out there if you can hunt it down.
Cool. Okay, let's jump to the news. Robots in Disguise, Clash of the Transformers, Toys R Us exclusives are hitting U.S. stores now. So if you want that, $30, is that right? That's what it says on the shelf. Is that the
for
right toy?
Power Rangers Starscream? Yeah.
Yeah.
Warrior Class toys are out too, so. Yeah, you can get the Warrior Class Starscream and the Scorponok recolor, remold.
And I think that Decepticon Island set is out, too.
Yeah, which has that steel jaw we were talking about earlier.
Yes, and the stasis pods, which are kind of neat.
Is it? Okay, so, I've seen conflicting reports. Is it one stasis pod or two?
It is two, unless something has changed since Comic-Con.
Okay. That's interesting.
I definitely want the new Voyager, the Warrior class figures. I've seen these larger ones, the Minicon Powerizers. No, they're not good. they're very not good.
Okay. So the next item, Masterpiece Soundwave is being reissued in Asia with an exclusive diecast cassette player.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at this yet.
Yeah, so he comes with all the cassettes that the Hasbro US release came with.
All the cassettes minus Rat Bat.
Minus the one we want.
You know, I would have thought for this release they would have went ahead and added him, because when I saw a bonus item, I thought, cool, they're adding Rat Back, because that would make the most sense, because Sound Blaster has gone dirt cheap, well, for a Takara masterpiece in a lot of places, and nobody wants the Linkin Park version that you or the Year of the Goat version that has the five of them. But I'm glad this is getting reissued. It's just, it really needed to have the Rat Bat in there.
Yeah, if you don't have this toy, it's a pretty great masterpiece figure. It really, when I think of a masterpiece figure should be, this pretty much embodies that completely.
And even if this has, you know, some markup from being a Hasbro Asia release, it should still be cheaper than the aftermarket on the Toys R Us Masterpiece Soundwave.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
And Don, thank you again for finding that for me 3 years ago.
No problem. It's just, I mean, you know, well, my little Toys R Us usually gets a minor amount of those. But once the first two shipments of Soundwaves came in, they never got any more. They just, that was it.
So if you want probably the worst Platinum Edition set ever, the Platinum Edition Rise of Artemis set is coming out. We have stock photos of that.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, okay. I can't think of any Platinum set that would actually be worse than this one.
Can I be honest? I kind of want the Titanium Rodimus from this set, because that was one of the best Titaniums they had done. Again, bar is kind of low, but it's still not a bad figure.
Do you have the original Titanium Rodimus, right?
Yeah, I have him.
So why do you feel the need to have this one?
I like those colors. I don't know why. It's just,
it's a little jarring to me that apparently the paint on the diecast part is so drastically different from the color of plastic.
I mean, generally
the original titanium was pretty good in the color match.
Okay.
Yeah, generally their paint matching is a lot closer than that. The only time you usually see this bad of a mismatch is on your yellows, but this is just, like, not even in the same ballpark.
Okay, so XV had said that you can't think of a worse set, so here's a thought. For a Titans Return, a Platinum Edition set, we have Energon Blur and Action Master Blaster, trying to be their Titans Return counterparts. That'd be pretty bad.
There's not really, like, a theme tying it together.
It's two Titan Masters characters.
Yeah, I mean, I think... No, you're reaching a little bit for that. It would have to be, like, Rodimus and Galvatron make sense as a set together, even if they picked the worst possible toys they could have used for this.
Okay, so how about this? This would have to go sort of maybe Japanese. No, I'm trying to figure out a way to include Robots in Disguise or Car Robots Ultra Magnus as G1 Ultra Magnus.
Hey.
Maybe that with the Universe Galvatron, because they're both City Commanders, or the City Commanders, yeah. That'd be a pretty bad set.
No. There is nothing wrong with that Ultra Magnus toy.
There's a lot wrong with that
Ultra Magnus toy. Other than the fact that it exists.
There's a lot with that one.
Y'all just have no appreciation for good toys. Yeah, yes, it's a little weak compared to the Optimus, but most toys are weak compared to R.I.D. Optimus.
I actually like R.I.D. Optimus to a fair extent, Don, but I cannot go there with you on Ultra Magnus.
You know what's funny is I looked at this set and I was like, in my memory, I remember Titanium Rodimus being pretty good. And then I look at it and I'm like,
no, it is pretty good in the realm of the Titanium figures. It's not the best Titanium figure because, like, it has Beast Machines Cheetor and Robots in Disguise Optimus to compete with, which were both surprisingly solid Titanium figures. Mm-hmm. No, but maybe, Brian, your Platinum concept, if you repurposed R.A.D. Magnus as, like, God Bomber.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I would buy that set.
Okay. So he would be God Bomber. Which version of Optimus would we use for Optimus Prime, or for Jinrai?
No, if you want to be a truly bad Platinum set, it would have to be one that has no compatibility whatsoever with that Ultra Magnus.
Which be any one. So how about...
how about the Spy Changer Robots in Disguise Optimus, just to be insulting?
There you go. I like that. I actually like that toy, though.
And you can't even put the car in Ultra Magnus' trailer because it's totally off, too.
Right.
I hate to go back to
that. No, I mean, you could actually just do a two-pack and have the Robots in Disguise Optimus decoed where the small robot is like Jinrai's Power Master armor.
Oh,
and
no,
then
no,
the super armor kind of makes him look super Optimus. Okay.
All right. If you want, if you want to make it, take the Spy Changer RID Optimus in yellow, and the full size Ultra Magnus as a God Bomber. So you have an Optimus that's the wrong color in the wrong scale, with the Ultra Magnus in the wrong color in the wrong scale.
So I'm thinking instead of because I like how about like the leader class Dark of the Moon Optimus. As the Optimus Prime.
No, do the Voyager Revenge of the Fallen Optimus.
Yeah.
With the Hasbro instructions.
I'm sorry. Or evasion mode. Evasion mode's not that bad.
No, the Revenge of the Fallen Voyager is still worse. Yes.
It's a good toy, but not when it leaves out like three steps of the instructions and you can't transform it.
Yeah.
Okay. How about
if you transform it by the instructions, you have to clip parts through each other in the physical world, which is.
How about you take that deluxe Energon Optimus and put that in the Platinum set with God Bomber Ultra Magnus?
That'll work.
How about
we've just made a lot of fans very sad.
How about the voice synthesizer Ultra Magnus with? I'm going to go back to the well with Action Master Optimus Prime.
Or for that matter, just, like, put Action Master Optimus Prime with the God Bomber Rid Magnus.
Oh, okay. All right. We could do...
It's when you can't do retooling, really, on Platinum sets, or they don't generally, because, like, you could retool the cab so that you could sit Action Master Optimus inside.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And you realize someone is now, that's a car or Hasbro, is writing down all these ideas. So anything that happens from this point on is our fault.
Things never awesome. To do. Okay. Let's see here. Next item, IDW's Revolution Prelude issue, Revolution number 0. Available digitally for free. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Pretty striking art, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love the art. It looks great. I love the update of the mask vehicle, too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a nice setup for... basically inventing the world that exists outside of the Transformers.
Yeah.
Now, I thought this was actually becoming the new world.
It is, but, like, none of the stuff they're talking about has actually happened within the Transformers continuity so far. This prelude is just there to serve to, like, say, behind the scenes or between the panels, this stuff all happened.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is
I
where
gotcha.
We're at because of it, and that's where we're jumping on with Revolution.
So has Blitzwing not been seen in any of the other comics to make him the...
Blitzwing had an unfortunate incident in a recent issue of the Transformers, and they've recovered him, and this is where he is right now.
Okay, so it does make sense in continuity. So
I knew
you and Rob were worried about the continuity going out the window with this happening.
I wasn't too worried about the continuity going out the window as some of the writing and art teams going out the window, which only halfway.
We had expressed some concerns that like they'd be throwing out story concepts they've been working on in the execution of this. So like in one sense, yes, we were worried about like the overall continuity as a result of Revolution, but you know, it's working within the boundaries so far.
Okay, let's see here. What else we got? E-Hobby Convo. Is that its actual name? Convo Bat?
In Japan, Bat Convoy? Yes.
I've been calling it Bat Convoy. Comic
Whatever.
Page plus photo of Mega Alligator, Headmaster, in robot mode.
Mm-hmm.
I pre-ordered this already.
I wanted to so badly, but...
You don't care
at
enough,
that,
Don. Clearly.
At that price, I just can't pay... $70 to $90 for a deluxe one extra Titan Master and a $5 repaint of Ape Face is just.
I more or less predicted the existence of this set, and at this price, I don't care enough either.
Well, I mean, you know, well, back last year, I had talked after TFCon last year with the anniversary coming up. I was talking about Fans Project recoloring their Headmasters as
if they did that, it would probably be cheaper than this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Though. This, yeah, and I'm just saying, the exclude, and you mentioned this before, both you and Rob, I think, the exclusivity of this eHobby set doesn't translate into almost a $90 for U.S. retailers for what you're getting. I mean, if it had the Megatron, if it had the Skullcruncher body in the right colors and an Optimus Prime figure, if they had dropped the Ape Face repaint as Optimus, I would have been better at that price at $90 for two deluxes. But for what you're getting, the value is just not there. For it's just not.
It's not about value. It's about Bat Convoy.
Well,
and we should be used to these prices on these exclusive figures anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is less.
Oh, I am. That's why I don't have it.
Yeah, this is the same pricing as the Hero X stuff that comes out every year.
No, I think this is less negotiable.
Ridiculous.
The Hero X stuff is actually cheaper than this. We pay more for it because the retailers are making us compensate them for having to buy the book with the order form in it 150 times. You know,
gotcha.
Yeah,
I was going off what we pay. Yeah.
I'm not slamming the figure. I'm just saying, I just can't see what you get in that set being a $90 price tag.
It's not. That's the point. You're paying a markup, plus you're paying because it's a limited edition. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Hey, so what I'm disappointed by mostly is the fact that the comic doesn't ape. And I'm sorry that I'm not using a better word, but copy the art style from the original Pac-Man comic. I would have liked that a lot better. That would have been really cool, but it's the same art style they use for all the other comic stuff. They do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it would have brought the price of the setup, or the value of the setup, something reasonable, as if they had actually included the Tarantulas made from Machine Wars hoist that is in this.
I would buy that.
Tarantula.
I saw somebody say that that's just like that mold in Wrecker Hook colors, basically.
Oh, is it?
So it may just be a straight repurposing of a toy that exists.
Maybe it is.
I would buy the hell out of that. I would be on that so fast.
I mean, we've talked about this on and off in the past. I would be all about some kind of subline that just kind of explores the Beast Wars on Modern Earth thing from the year one toy bios. Even if it had to largely be, you know, vehicle molds, if it was done the right way, it would still be really interesting to me.
Yeah.
But not at 7,500 yen per figure.
Yeah.
Okay, so movie block.
No comment.
Yeah. You can't comment now for another week or so. Transformers.
At least.
Transformers The Last Night, Bumblebee Robot Redesign, revealed in mini bio.
No comment.
It looks like Bumblebee from the first movie, basically, right? He looks pretty much the same as the old Bumblebee.
Yeah, it looks more like the older Bumblebee designs than the final Age of Extinction design.
At this point, Bumblebee
works for me.
Yeah.
At this point, for me, Bumblebee is like Iron Man armors. They're or your basic main Gundams from any series. They're all so similar, I can't tell them apart anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like Tony Stark's armor. I can't tell the armors unless it's the classic Golden Armor, Silver Centurion, or Mark V. I have no idea what the hell he's wearing. The Bumblebees.
Like the comic book Iron Man armor is up to, I want to say, like 2003 or so. I can tell them apart very well. All the movie armors look the same to me.
Yeah, and Bumblebee's the same. I mean, I can't. They're all yellow robot with Camaro cars, and it's just. I just see, even Massey agrees. He can't tell them apart either. Ain't that right? Don't you bite me?
I'm showing people on screen. This is what Bumblebee looks like in the next movie.
I mean, it's a very clean design for a movie design, but again, I don't really care. It's Bumblebee.
It's Bumblebee.
It'd be nice to have like a radical redesign.
Yeah, just don't have four in every case. That's all I ask. Is just
no. I think we're past that point. Fortunately.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting when, like, I guess Toy Fair rolls around and we get the first indications of the movie toy line. Just to see, like, what scope there is going to be of it.
Okay, let's jump to, hey, Amazon. If you want to go to, if you ever buy anything from Amazon, why not just go to tfradio.net/Amazon? Won't cost you a cent more, but Amazon will send back just a little bit to help us out. Victorion right now is only like $72. So that's pretty cool. Superion's currently at $80.49. Funny enough, Amazon has two listings for Fortress Maximus. One doesn't ship until like September 30th, but they have another listing that is shipped from and sold by Amazon that's $149.99 that you can get right now that somebody bought yesterday. And thank you, whoever bought that. We appreciate it. So tfradio.net/Amazon, get all your Amazon stuff there. Again, doesn't cost a cent more. Amazon helps us out. It's pretty fantastic. Okay. I got nothing else there. Okay, third-party news. Alan, which I love the name. Triple Changer Springer homage from Unique Toys.
Why didn't any of these third parties that were doing blurs last year call one Wally?
I know. They should be using the Headmaster dub names.
Yeah, why not?
Because even they know that's a terrible idea.
It's a fantastic idea, Don. You shut your mouth.
Like, I, you know, my first glance at this, I didn't much care for it, but I actually kind of like this.
I do too. It's, I think, well, the original picture we saw with those big, huge shoulders, I'm not sure if it was just the angle that we saw or if it was the gray prototype stage that was throwing stuff off, but it looks a lot better now. It's, I'm just not sure I'm going to be getting this because, you know, I have the old Defender. The old Defender mold. Yeah.
So you had the worst Springer.
So, no, I still like that one. And, you know, our friend Paladin mentioned that the Generation Springer mold still holds up real well.
Yeah, so, until the elbows give out.
Yeah.
Holds a better Sandstorm.
Yeah. So, I'm just waiting for Fans Toys because they're also doing a Springer, so I like the Fans Toys one, so I'll just wait.
Yeah, it's, you know, with as much as I love Carrie, DX9 has been, you know, really getting my attention with their stuff because their quality over the last 2 years has just shot up remarkably.
But yeah. Has Fans Toys announced Rodimus yet? I forget.
They did.
Hot Rod, actually.
Oh, yeah, but
okay,
always,
I remember that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, Brian. I hope that theirs includes the shoulder rotation from the Quintesson part of the movie, because I kind of want a Hot Rod that does that to see how they pull it off.
Yeah, I'd like to see at least one Hot Rod toy, official or not, try to do that.
Yeah, I think those joints would need to be die-cast for it to work.
Yeah, probably.
But this is a great-looking Springer. Car mode's a little kludgy, but Springer's car mode was a little kludgy anyway, so they got it down pat.
If you go by the G1 toy, all of Springer is kludgy.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, I have been pretty busy with the Computron box set. I have got reviews up for Nosecone, Lightsteed, and Afterbreaker.
Lightsteed!
Yes, Lightsteed. And of course, I had Scrounge done prior to this, so... Strafe's Gallery should be going up tomorrow. The review should be up on Friday if all goes well. I also have a review of Till All or One Number 3, which turned out really well. And XV's got a review of More Than Meets the Eye Number 56.
Cool.
Which is the least I've hated Prowl in quite some time.
Yes.
Awesome. So, Diecast, you just put up a review of Brian Storm.
Brian Storm is up and... Brainstorm, just a little typo there, is
Comic-Con exclusive Brian Storm.
I love that name. I think it's the best.
Okay, someone needs to customize a Titan Master head to look like Brian Kilby to put on top of that body.
Don't. I'll just put Bronze head on it, and that's how you get Brian.
Yes, I like that.
Now, see, Brian now you can get the Walgreens one and be Brainstorm, and you're... SDCC can be Brian Storm.
Well, if you can find one.
What's the Takara version?
Bad.
Ugly.
Will Smith.
The Takara version is the Headmaster's dub version.
Yeah. I want it now.
I put up the Headmaster adapter kit for like the Nightbeat mold.
Is an adapter or is it a tube?
It's an adapter. It actually, you slide the head out and it slides in because that mold has a mushroom peg for a head or for the joint.
Yeah, it's a mushroom peg that slides into the slot with an adapt or a connection for the headmaster.
So last night or the night before, I literally just finally opened my Generations Nightbeat. It's been sealed on the card since I got it because it looks ugly, but I want it. I want to be able to make him a Titan Master, so I'm going to do that. So I need to figure out how to get that adapter. I want it.
Yeah, where does this adapter come from?
Shapeways.
Oh, Shapeways?
Yeah, it's Infang Galvatron's adapter.
Oh,
I can't stand that guy. Yeah. No, I'll get it.
hey, the entire staff of Master of Collectibles put their heart and soul into this.
Now Stuart's great, so yeah, I'll I'll pick that up. So I didn't know he actually had a Shapeways store. So
yeah, review.
Does the figure still transform with the head attached, or do you have to take it off?
No, I can't. Right.
No.
It can transform.
No, it can transform with the adapter, but not with the Titan Master.
No, you have to take the head off.
Oh. You do? I didn't try yet.
I just was wondering.
I suppose that's a good point. There's really no reason to transform it for the review of the neck adapter.
Okay, I'm just Googling. I'll worry about that later. I need to pick that up. Sorry. Let's see here. On the network this week, we have the RC Minicast episode 54, where Matt, John, and I talk about Suicide Squad. Tell us about that one episode of Star Trek.
Oh, we did the Season 7 Next Generation episode, Interface, as part of our whole month of Geordi LaForge's minor headache. This is the episode where Geordi's mom dies and he deals with his feelings by pretending to be a robot.
There was one good episode of season 7?
And I think this was it.
No.
Okay, what are you thinking of
All
then?
Good Things.
That's two episodes.
What about the one where Barclay turned into a spider in the warp core?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, wait a minute. Was season 7 the second Moriarty episode, or was that 6?
That was 6.
That was 6, okay.
Okay, cool.
That's on our short list for Holodeck Misadventures theme month that will happen sometime in the future.
Yay! Oh, well, wait a minute. I want to see that. I just admitted to it, so you're taking it off the list.
Let's see here. On Take 4 Wrestling, episode 5, we talked about, Joey and I talked about, actually, now I have to say JT Hogg, because I can say it here, not on that show. He told me that his wrestling promoter may actually promote the show, but it has to be in character.
Yeah, don't break kayfabe.
I can't
Brian.
Break kayfabe. Right. So, Joey, I'm going to. Here you're Joey, there you're JT Hogg. So, but we talked about the Great American Bash 1989. Let's see here. Being Awesome with Rob Springer. Rob remembers Shardacon.
And damn it, Rob. Stop reminding us of that.
I know. I know. And that's it. So
I have no memories of it because I couldn't
And
make
Rob
it.
Springer also had a nice article on his website about his disappointments trying to get Fortress Maximus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His website is zonebase.org. So if you want to check out Rob's blog, it is zonebase.org, and he puts a lot of fun posts up. It's really fun. And you can find all of our podcasts at tfradio.net. You can find me personally on Twitter at bkilby. Matt's not on the internet. Diecast is at diecast2. Is that right?
Yep.
And how do we get RFC reviews?
RFC reviews on YouTube.
Cool.
Just go to RFC reviews.
RFC reviews.
Sweet. Yeah.
On YouTube.
Chris, how do we get a hold of like all of your shows and stuff?
No comment.
Tokupodcast.com for...
Well, that would actually be everything because that's the whole Superhero Time feed.
Yeah, that's true. Tokupodcast.com. And on
Twitter. Which is funny since we're not even doing a Toku podcast at the moment.
Yeah. And at ChrisRTXV. Rob.
No comment.
I am at RAC2750 and Flailthroughs, and you can see both XV and my video reviews on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Sweet. And Don?
I can be found on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR, or anywhere bad puns can be found.
Hey, Don, I just realized that you never plug your other podcast.
Well, I mention it from time to time, but I don't want to.
You can
know.
Mention it here. This is plug time.
Okay, all right. Well, I can also be found on TFYLP. I can be reached at Twitter at TFYLP tag, or you can contact me on Facebook through the TFYLP or RFC news groups.
I want news groups on Facebook.
Or what, you know, the web page.
I want Facebook Usenet.
I want Usenet back.
Usenet's still around. Zobivor is still posting. Dave Van Domlin is still posting. It's great. It's just like 1997. Deathy is still there. That's true. A lot of people are still around, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now look at Dacast. Hold that up for a second. That's one reason I got that, because the space train there reminds me of part of Dagon X from Legend of Brave. When he's in shuttle mode, it reminds me of Death Gary from this, which was the Skagray repaint, and also Paladin mentioned this. That's part of, homage-wise, Omega Supreme from Energon, the space train version of that. So I don't know how much of this was intentional, but that's why I like Sentinel Prime in those colors. It's because you've got both an Energon reference that doesn't suck, and you've got some Brave references.
So did you say its name was Spaceship Bruce?
No, that's Fortress Maximus.
Oh, that's right.
You know, the one that comes himself.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what Fortress Maximus does. Sentinel Prime makes himself run on time.
You know, hey, yeah. So a thought. So we haven't done an RFC Transformers Rewind in forever. I know there's a Cybertronological, I actually don't know how you say it, but there's a podcast where they recount like all the G1 episodes. The Stasis Pod's a podcast where they like recount Beast Wars and Beast Machines. We should do a podcast where we go through every episode of the Headmaster's dub.
We've talked about that in the past.
I'm up for that.
We've talked about a lot of things in the past.
Yes.
Like, we first talked about doing a Star Trek podcast, I want to say, in like 2012.
Before.
And it took until...
Oh, before that. It was before that.
Well,
like
the BotCon trip was the first time I really remembered serious conversation about doing something like that. But it still took until,
Last year.
2015 before I actually made it happen.
Okay,
all right. Okay, Brian, if you get your podcast where you talk about the dub, I get a podcast where we go back and watch RID 1.0 and discuss the episodes,
too. That's fine.
Too.
I'll do that. So, like, here's the thing. We have several shows that are Transformers related. I'm all for, as long as we can sustain it and it makes sense as a show, I'm all for doing whatever like that. So, Don, if you want to do it, we'll talk through. We've got to figure out how to make it happen, but yeah. I would do that.
Yeah. Plus, also, I still want to do Swap Shop if we can still figure out how.
We can. Yeah, that would be great. But if we do that show, I would want to start with
that
the Headmaster.
That was so dismissive. Yeah, that'd be great, Don. Anyway.
No, Don and I have had serious talks about how to make that happen.
I know.
So, but it's going to require a lot of work, and it's time that I don't have. So if we had a producer, somebody who could work with you on it, you know, if anybody's out there wants to do it, shoot me an email, you know, through the website, whatever. But if we did that Headmasters, we would have to follow it up with Master Force and then have to do Victory. So, Don, I would have to have you on the Master Force dub.
Oh.
He was like, oh, Master Force? Yes. Oh, wait.
That's like saying, here, have a giant free burrito. Oh, it's full of guacamole.
That's
great.
That would be awesome. You don't like coleslaw and you don't like guacamole, Don. What's your problem?
But you want chili on your hamburger.
Yes, I'm from the South. You put chili on hot dogs and hamburgers.
So in pre-show, hot dogs
I can see, but hamburgers?
In pre-show,
I thought chili on hot dogs was more of a northern thing.
No, it's everything. So Don in pre-show said that he went to Five Guys and complained that you can't get chili on your hamburger.
No, okay. No, I did not really complain. I just said, I told the manager, I know it's your policy to not have it, but I'm just saying, if you when you report to your upper people, if you have any customer concerns, if you could just mention that you had a customer that would like to see this in some of your stores,
it would be
nice because I'm sorry.
And his face was red as he said this, and he was spitting. He was so upset.
No, I mean I am from the South. I grew up in the South. Okay, but to me,
you don't say, Don.
Yes, I'm sure my accent doesn't give it away at all. But I don't care for slaw. I'm sorry, I just don't. But I like country ham. I like chili on my hot dogs and my hamburgers. I like Miracle Whip. I like what I like.
Miracle Whip is not a Southern thing. That'd be Duke's mayonnaise, sir.
God, why would you?
I gotta drive that in the fridge.
Ugh. That's the best.
Yeah, it's to patch up repair holes in the road and holds tiles on the space shuttle or something. That's what it's for. But
Duke's mayonnaise is good for everything.
Yep, it's the best.
So anyway, yeah, that I did not. When we went to the Five Guys, I did not. I just said, "Listen, if you would pass us along as a concerned customer, because I'd be more willing to go."
You're
to
not helping yourself, Don.
Anyway, that's. But before
it goes to the next meeting, he's like, "Did anyone get any crazy requests?" He's gone. Yeah, this guy. He wanted chili, just so he could put it on his hamburger.
Okay, in my defense,
about one person.
In my defense, the guy said, "You're not the first person to ask us this, and we have to tell them that it's
Don,
a corporate."
You ask them that every time you go there, and they've just forgotten it's you.
No, I've only been to Five Guys twice in my life. I've only been to them twice.
If they had chili, do more often.
Time.
Exactly.
Okay, that's it.
It's just three or four guys, but
yeah, it's just two guys. Actually, okay.
Store up here. My dad used to work there.
Let's see here. I do want to mention one thing. So one thing I'm going to miss about BotCon, and this not a eulogy for BotCon, but I like traveling, but like I like hanging out with friends, like obviously you guys and whatever. And like when I go on vacation or something, I try not to go and eat crap. But like at BotCon or whatever, typically I eat just like whatever crap I can find. One of my favorite experiences was at BotCon 2012, I guess, or maybe 2000. No, it's 2012.
In and out. Yes.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
As long as it's never, ever a White Castle ever again.
White Castle's good, Don.
And see, the In-N-Out experience was good for me, too, because I got to sit there and watch you, like, bully JD into getting the kind of phone you wanted him to get instead of the one he knew he wanted to upgrade
to. But he ended up wanting that phone.
Yes, because you bullied him into it.
He was happy.
What part of this do you not understand?
He was happy with his phone. He got the Galaxy S2. He was happy with it. Maybe it's S3.
You gave him Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. We all have Stockholm Syndrome. That's why we're here.
Well, I'm just going to mention one of it wasn't my favorites, but it's one that stands out. BotCon 2001 in Durham.
Oh, God.
The only restaurant open was
Arby's.
That one. No, it was a McDonald's. It was
I remember
a McDonald's.
Arby's.
Yeah.
So, and BotCon 2015, Portillo's every single day.
Was that the place we went for breakfast?
No, that was Mama's Pancake House.
Oh, that was
which place
really
was? Well, Portillo's was at the
hot dogs,
Chicago style hot dogs.
Was that the place that was in front of our hotel?
No, that was a different place whose name escapes me. There's actually one or two of those in Nashville. I've come to find out. Culver's.
Yes, it was Culver's.
I don't remember.
No, Portillo's was like a block.
The Italian place, wasn't it?
Portillo's was like the next block up. It was right by where Target was, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I really like it.
It was the hot dogs and the cheese fries and the milkshakes.
Yeah, well, that's where you guys took me for my birthday.
That nice rack of ribs.
Yeah, which again, I appreciate, guys. That made a really good birthday. I appreciate that.
But
go ahead, Don.
So, but one of my favorite memories also is, God, we're talking about food and not wrapping up the show, was BotCon 2016, the Brazilian Steakhouse.
Oh, yes. God.
That was really good.
Oh,
man. That was a great once-in-a-lifetime thing.
The only person who didn't have a good time was Triplett.
Triplett.
It's like, man, this is expensive. Well,
it is expensive, but that's kind of the point.
But you got,
it was the single most expensive meal I bought in my life, but it was pretty well worth it.
It was way the hell worth it.
He had fun. No, don't get me wrong. He had fun at the convention, but my hair is popping up. This kind of looks... God, I'm bald. people on video can see it. You guys can't. He had a fun time. But
that was the first time I ever enjoyed eating lamb.
That was fun. We need to do that again. Let's do it next spot, Connor. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll catch you later. Have a good one.
Everyone take care.
See you next week. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.